You get the impression from the earlier postgame up through the Shulchan Aruch that the guest should be written on Klaf. But then you have the Taz who seems to make reference to a historical development that at one point paper was Klaf was hard to come by, something during Klaf the Taz. So they stopped using Klaf. And then some of the earlier Achonim, say that Klaf in fact is inferior to paper because Klaf is more Yachal is diet. There's a better chance that you could forge something written on Klaf instead of written on paper. So that's why it became a lechachila to use paper as opposed to Klaf. So that's probably one of the most common misconceptions about Gittin. If you ask someone in the street, what do you write a get? And they assume you write in Klaf. Why do they think that? Because if you write in Klav Ashuris with the O, so all the things go together.
Presumption
is the O and Klav. That's in everyone's mindset. So that's a first time people see an actual get. There's something surprised. It was a Klav. I want to get my money's worth.
You want a refund.
But I think that's why it got cost $500. But the reality is that the lechachila is not a kula, it's a lechachila that we don't use klaf because klaf is more yachal zay if it's more easily forged.
Okay.
So last night we began to discuss two sides of the same coin. Number one, the question as to whether you need a bezdin for a get procedure, and the pashtus of the Gemara that you don't. We discussed the Nodi Yehuda says that you should, and some people are machmir lechachila for the Nodi Yehuda, but the minig in Batidin in America is not to be choshish for the Nodi Yehuda, with the exception of the Ramah's chumrah that when you have a get that's given by the shliach, you should have a bezdin present. And then also the question of whether you can give a get balayla, which or zeruah or sedeshen, some mashmiyos of the Ramah are machmir, but halach lemaisa, if push comes to shove, even though we try to be machmir, if there are other considerations, we will write a get balayla. So there are some other considerations as to where a bezdin may be preferable within a get procedure. The Piskei Shuvah that we referenced yesterday in the beginning of the Seder HaGet refers to the Shuvah's Chasim Sofer. Shuvah's Chasim Sofer is an Aruch Chaim Siman Nun Aleph in which the Chasim Sofer discusses that even though in principle you don't require a Bezdin for a get proceeding, he thinks that you should have a Bezdin present for the Chakiras HaSofer and the Chakiras HaEdim. And after the get is written by the Sofer, the get is signed by the Edim, so in the Seder HaGet, the Mesader HaGet asks questions of the sofer to just verify that proper procedure followed, that the sofer wrote the get l'shmo l'shmo l'shem gerishin, that he wrote it with a plague siva belonging to the Baal, etc. And the Mesader asks questions of the Edom as well to make sure that the Edom signed the get l'shmo l'shmo l'shem gerishin, that the Edom witnessed whatever they're supposed to witness. So the Chazon Sofer thinks that chakiras ha-sofer but chakiras ha-edim is something that should be done in the presence of a bezdin. It's not just a conversation to verify the facts, but it's something that has to be presented to bezdin. So the Chazon Sofer thinks that those questions to be asked in the presence of bezdin. Again, the minhag is not to be machmir for that. And so Ravadi Yosef has a tshuva. I don't remember the Marmakum Afan, that was a while ago. But he has one place that his personal practice when he was Masadur Gittin was to make sure that there was a bezdin presence for the Chakira Shemos. When you make the determination as to how to write the Shemos in the get, that should be done in the presence of a bezdin, just not so much because of the formal halachic requirement of needing a bezdin, but tshuva Zerov Yoetz, it's better to have a bezdin presence so that it's not just to call the Mesader Gittin, the Mesader Get, but you should have a bezdin of people who know what they're doing to all confer and conclude the proper way of writing the Shemos.
That could be beforehand? That could be.
That's beforehand.
That could be well beforehand.
Right.
So they would convene a bezdin a week before, a month before, whatever.
The practice of the Batei, our practice and the practice of Batei Din Eretz Yisrael generally is to do everything in one shot, and not to have the Chakir Shemos in advance. Sometimes they do, but yeah, that's not connected to the Seder Get per se.
It's complicated, I mean, then you'll...
Right.
You can tell that there's a red flag.
Right. But generally speaking, we don't do Chakir Shemos in advance, so that's our practice. Now that we establish that you don't need a Beis Din for a Seder Haget, I'll bring your attention to a Din of Shulchan Aruch that you need a minion for a Seder Haget. And Simon, you don't need a Beis Din, you need a minion.
The ones I've been to, there was no minion.
Yeah, me too. So in Simon Kuf Lamed Gimel, very short Simon, the title of Simon is Sarach Sheyimser Haget Bifnei Shnei Edom Sherim. So that I would agree with you, you need to have two Edom, Edom is zero. In the end of that simon, the Mechaber writes, "Regil and Lichin a get b'minyan asara." The practice is to give over a get in the presence of 10 people. And that is reflected as well in the Seder Haget at the end of Hilchas Gittin, in Sif Ayin Zayin. The Seder Haget writes, "Yikabes minyan kidei laseis haget basari." Should have a minyan present in order to give a get in the presence of a minyan. Why do you need a minyan? So from the presentation of Shulchan Aruch here in the Nosei Kelim, you get the impression that the requirement of a minyan is some kind of a persume milsa to publicize the change in status of the woman. Either something akin, you know, we have the notion that there should be a minyan present for chalisa, for the presume milsa. So either to publicize the fact that this woman is a surah kohen, to make sure that people are aware of her new status, or number two, to make sure that there's no concern of Shnei Yosef ben Shimon Bayir. There's no concern that there may be two people with the same name in the same city married to two people with the same name in the same city, and then there could be confusion as to which Yosef ben Shimon was Megarish, which Rachel Bas Lavan. So in order to make sure there's not going to be any confusion, you have a minion of 10 people, and the presumption is that if you publicize something in the presence of 10 people, the word will get out. Even though usually we assume that if you publicize something in the presence of 3 people, where it gets out, that creates a cult. But that seems to be the issue over here. I saw Rabbi Felder say, for he quotes from the Nachal Shiva, which I didn't see inside. The Nachal Shiva apparently suggests a novel approach. You're bothered by the fact that if it's simply a matter of presuming milsa, so 3 people should be sufficient for the person. If you publicize something in the presence of 3 people, then word will get out. That's apet lasa. So the Nachal Shiva apparently suggests that the necessity for a minyan for a Seder Haget is based on an extension of the Hekesh of Havai Liyasiya. There's certain halachas that we have that Gittin are paralleled after Kiddushin. Right? So just like you need a minyan for Kiddushin, or Nisuin, you need a minyan for Nisiris Haget. So the minhag olam is not to be machped for this practice, which apparently was a practice at one point in history. The only place I've seen this, even Eretz Yisrael, they're machped to have a bez, they're not machped to have a minyan. The one place I saw this, the one person who is machped is Rabbi Wolhender. He's on the Seder Haget in Williamsburg, on the Turei Kartanik. So Rabbi Wolhender is probably most famous for a nice sefer that he wrote on Hilchos Nida, which he originally called the Mishnah Berurah Chadash, which got him put into Chayrim. Kufei Halacha, right. So that was the second title after he got put in Chayrim for writing, plagiarizing the Mishnah Berurah title. So he wrote the Mishnah Berurah Chadash, which is a nice sefer, and then he got put in Chayrim for that. So he renamed it in Hilchos Nida. He renamed it the Kufei Halachas. And then he has another nice sefer in Hilchos Gittin, also called the Sefer Miris Einayim. It's also a title that was used before. But he's been put in Chayrim for many other things also. But be that it is May, I was once present at a get that he was Masader in Williamsburg, and there were a lot of people there. It was a happening place. People walking in, out, visiting. But he told me that he's Machbid. He has this in the Sefer, that he's Machbid, that there should be a minion present for the Masiris Haget. But he's Makel, that you can be Masarif women for the minion.
It's not a din of minion, it's a din of
right, it's simply a matter of presuming milsa, so you can be Mefarsin something in the presence of women also.
The Shulchan Aruch hasn't got to Bris Mila. It has that there's a minig to try to have a minion for a Bris Mila because it appears to be Mefarsin a mitzvah.
By Pidyon Aben or by Bris Mila?
Bris Mila, I believe.
Yeah?
I believe I
Pidyon Aben.
Well,
that's more. I better have women.
No, so you see over there the Pirtum that is right in that Shiloh. Yeah. But what's the, where do you see the Pirtum? There is, you see, there is, well, certainly there's not the Pirtum anywhere.
Okay. So that should be telling you the reason. If you assume like the Nachal Shiva that it's Iska Shavaili Tzias, then you should need a minion of men. But if it's a matter of Pusim, so then.
Well, that's without line of thinking. Maybe children. They talk more than anybody.
So they don't have any.
Okay. Question of what the how the Pusim is affected. Okay. So that was what Rabbi Wellhender told me. He has a new Sefer. It's a nice Sefer that's based on the Seder Aget. It goes Sefer by Sefer the Seder Aget. So he thinks that you need a minion. So I don't know the other Hasidic Shabbat Din, if there's so, could be that other Hasidic Shabbat Din, I was also not sure. But our general practice, especially a lot of these cases are sensitivities, people don't want it so public. Even by chalitzas, we have a minion, but we try to keep it down to not much more than a minion because usually they're sensitive situations. But again, especially, people are hesitant to have anyone else present. Anything that we would do that would compromise the ability to effectively complete a get, we try to avoid. So for this chumra or practice at the Rekord of Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't, if not held to across the board these days by Bat Din, I don't know what, you know, in Europe in the later years, what was the common practice as far as who was present for a Seder again. Some places there's reference to doing the get, the Bechatzer Beis HaKnesses, which is also a Pirsum issue. But be that as it may, we're not definitely not makbid. Not only are we not makbid to have a minion, we're not makbid to have a best and present under most circumstances for get proceeding. One other situation in which a best is relevant for Mesiris HaGet. So as part of our Seder HaGet, we ask the husband in the initial proceeding before the husband is the man of the sofa, before he's the man of the Eden, we ask him if he ever took a nether or anything of the sort which would obligate him to give a get, because we're concerned that if he's given a get on the basis of the nether that he took, then maybe that would be some form of easily, some form of coercion which would potentially invalidate the get. So in the Seder HaGet it says that at the beginning of the proceeding, Yishal achacham lebal hamegareish atenos and gets emerson chabaloshim ones klum asisa shem isra neder shvua shamachrichcha litna. So you'd say to the Baal, is it possible that are you giving the get of your own free will? Or is it possible that you once took upon yourself some kind of nether or shvua or anything similar which would force you to give the get, and you're giving the get on the basis of that shvua that obligated yourself? Tomer lo nevinat yulucha. So if you ever took such a shvua or nether upon yourself, then let us know and we'll be matur nedarim. Vabal megarish meshiv lo nedarti v'lo nishvati v'ein li shimonis elem yirtzoni ani nosin getze b'leiv sholim b'li shimonis. Tonight. The Baal should answer. 99% of the time, the Baal never took such an eder, so he'll tell you, no, he never took such an eder. If he says that he did take such a shvua, then he should do atar sedar. In the Seder Get of the Kavanaki, Kavanaki was a Lubavitch Sefer from Europe, but it's the Seder Haget of record of basically all Batid in the world. Everyone follows the Seder Haget of the Kavanaki. So the Seder Haget of the Kavanaki, he writes, not only do you ask the husband if he ever took a neder, and if he tells you, yeah, he took a neder, you should be matir nedarim, but as part of his standard procedure, just to erase any possibility of a doubt, you should be matir nedarim al etzad, and maybe he took a neder and forgot the neder. So you ask him, did you ever take a neder? No. Maybe you took a neder, and in the event that you did take a neder, will be matir. So he says, you know, he'll provide his Pesach and Charata, that if he ever did take a nether, he regrets taking the nether, and then we'll be matir in the Darim.
And let's say the husband in a fit of anger,
yeah,
about his wife.
Right.
Ooh, that woman, I want to divorce her. Like, but he doesn't
That's why we're matir in the Darim, in case that has the...
But I haven't seen that. I mean, it's procedure that they have to matir in the
Darim. Yeah, that's in the Kavanaki. That is part of the standard Seder. Yeah, we're always matir in the Darim. And that's what we do across the board, regardless of whether he thinks he ever took another. Now that's what it says in all the standard Seder HaGet. So, we're matir in the Darim. Sefer HaTorah Seder, you need a Bezdin. The issue is... So let's say standard procedure, you have present the Sadu Gittin, you have present the Sofer, and you have present the two Eidim. So let's say you have four people in the room at the time of Tatar Sindarim. So in general, there's halacha that we find a couple places. Sanhedrin, Baba Basra, in Perek Yesh Nochlin, that there is a problem of a Bezdin Shokel. That you can't have a Bezdin of an even number of Dayanim. You have to have an odd number of Dayanim. So the Gemara in Yesh Nochlin learns that out. Moshe of Aaron and one more. So you can't have a Bezdin Shokel for most Bezdin proceedings. So are you allowed to have a Bezdin Shokel for Hataras and Darim? The Taras and Darim in general, not only in a get proceeding, but anytime can you have a Bezdin Shokel for Hataras and Darim. So Tosos there in Yesh Nochlin, Tosos in Yesh Nochlin, being pretty of a favorite, in the name of the Re, that Hataras Nedarim would pose a problem, Bezdin Shokel would pose a problem for Hataras Nedarim. And when you're Matir Nedarim, you can't have four people on the Bezdin, it has to be an odd number. And the Ritva writes that in that Sugya there as well, as does the Rashi Nedarim. And Daf Ayin Tes. There's a Chuvah of Rekiv Eger. Rekiv Eger in Siman Ayin Gimel talks about a case where there was a Bezin that was assembled for Ataras and Darim, and there was a Safek as to whether one of the members of the Bezin was a Gadol. Because he was a Gadol Bishanim, Bar Mitzvah, but it wasn't clear whether he had Simanim, and we wanted to make sure that he is a Gadol even for Dinim Daraisa. So Rekiv Eger there suggests that if you have a Safek, you have two people or Vada Gadol. And a third person is a Safek, whether he's a Gadol or not, and you want to use that Bezin in for Ataras and Darim, just bring in a fourth person and then you cover your bases. So Rekiv Eger assumes there's no issue of Bezdin Shokel when it comes to Ataras and Darim. Ataras and Darim is an issue when you need a Bezdin for Tzak, for a Din Torah, for a standard Maisa Bezdin. Ataras and Darim is a lower grade Maisa Bezdin, doesn't really need the Bezdin in the classic sense. And Rabbi Yisrael Chanan in his Nachal Yitzchak, which is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Chosha Mishpat, takes issue with Rabbi Rekiv Eger based on the Rishonim in Bava Basra. He thinks that La Halacha, you have to be Choshesh, that he tries to find justification for Rekiv Eger based on some other Rishonim. But bottom line, he thinks that La Halacha, you should be Choshesh and make sure not to have a Bez and Shalkim for Ataras Nedarim. This is an issue on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a practice, I think, based on Kabbalistic sources, to have 10 people for Hataras Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Moshe Sternbach, in his Tshuvas van Hagos, has a Tshuva about this, and he thinks that's incorrect. That to have 10 people for Bez and for Hataras Nedarim, even Erev Rosh Hashanah, is not proper. That's a problem of a Bez and Shakol. And even though the Gemara in Nedarim and Daf Ches says that Nidui b'chalom, if a person is put into Nidui in a dream, then he has to have 10 people take him out of that Nidui. So that's Nidui b'chalom. Nidui b'chalom has nothing to do with regular Taras and Darim. So if you got put into Chayrim in a dream, so then you need a minion to get you out of that Chayrim, but that has to do with dreams. Standard Taras and Darim has to be in front of a Bezdin with an odd number of people, and it can't be a Bezdin Shakel. So, based on that consideration, it would appear, and just it's not really our topic, but there are Acharonim who suggest that the whole limud of Bez and Shokel, Moshe Aaron and one more, may just tell you the minimal number of people you need to have a Bezdin. It may be that you can't have a, it teaches you you can't have a Bezdin of two, but it doesn't necessarily preclude that you could have a Bezdin of four or six. Definitely, but the Evan maybe even the Chachilas. So that's suggested by the Shar Mishpat, the Mishnah Siyavitz of Jolti. It's a piece both in Archaim and Choshe Mishpat Siman Dal, in which he develops this idea that maybe the whole limit of Bezdin Shokel only tells you the minimal number of people you need for Bezdin. It tells you you can't have a Bezdin of two, that's how you learn, you have to have three, but maybe four or six could be kosher, at least b'di'evan, and possibly even l'chachila. A b'leir is a way, it would seem that there is enough of a basis to try to be machmir when it comes to Ataras Nedarim, that Ataras Nedarim should be done in the presence of a Bezdin of an odd number of people, not a Bezdin Shokel. So we try to make sure when we have our Bezdin for Ataras Nedarim before Seder Aget, that if I'm there with the sofer and the two Edim, I'll tell one of the Edim not to answer Mutulach, that we should only have a Bezdin of three and not a bet of four, just because this at least seems to be a machlokas, and the pashtus, according to many rishonim, seems to be that hataras and damim should not be done in the presence of a bet shofar. Okay. So we'll start now. We're not going to finish tonight. The next sugya in the fourth parak, and that is the sugya of Shemos Begitin. The Mishnah tells us Hadaf Lamedal and Rebez by Rishona Yom Bishana Shmo Vishma Shem Iro Vishem Ira. His kind of Leo Zakin Sheikosiv Ish Ploni Vachoshim Sheishlo Ish Aplonis Vachoshim Sheishlo Vene Tikun Ha'olam. So there is a Takanas in Leo Zakin as to how to write the Shemos of an Ish and Isha in a get to include all Shemos that they go by. So you have Machlokas Rishona here, Machlokas in the Bali Tosos, the Bahag and the Vinatam. Does that mean that you should write those words? You write his name, the Choshem, the Chanicha Dislay, than any other nickname he may have. And you always write that even if he doesn't have other nicknames, or maybe only if he does have other nicknames. Or does it mean that you write his name and you write out all the nicknames? So that's the Machlokas, the Rishonim here. Again, three possibilities. Either you always write his main name and the words, the Choshem, Chanicha Dislay, any other nicknames he may have, or you write his name, V'chol Shem V'chanicha D'Islay, only where you know that he has other nicknames, or you write his name and the other nicknames. So point two and three is Machlokes and Mechab and Ramah, or Reb Sakan Mechab is that compromised position, that you write all his names, and you also write the words and any other nicknames he may have. The minhag for the Ramah and the Ashkenaz that we don't write those words, all of the nicknames he writes, all his names, and all the names of his father. So that requirement that you have to write the names of the Baal. So Evan agrees that if you don't write the husband's name, you write again without the husband's name, so that's definitely possible. Machlok is shown whether that's possible min haTorah or that possible midrabban. Evan agrees that it's not a good get. Machlok is whether that's a din deraisa or that's a din derabban. So it's questionable what the Rambam holds, because the Rasamech discusses on the one hand, the Rambam doesn't list the requirement of writing the husband's name in the 10 things that the Rambam begins his Hilchos Gittin with that are Nakiv Get, but there are other implications in the Rambam later on that maybe it is Nakiv in the Torah. Be that as it may, bottom line, if you leave out the husband's name, the Get is minimally Pasal Midrabban. Question is, what happened if you leave out father? He's supposed to write the name of the Baal, Ben, his father, and the name of the Isha, Bas, her father. So what happens if you leave out the name of the husband's father, the name of the wife's father? So that is over. Gad Pashit points out, Gad Pashit is one of the primary early Akhbar, who's Malachi and Abadi, who's in Shalayim. And the Get Pashit itself is a Piskei Tshuva like work, although an earlier work that is Malakes, anyone who wrote that, unfortunately, only wrote the Piskei Tshuva like work. Get Pashit points out the main simon on how to write the name of the Get is Simon Kuf Kaf Tes. So the Get Pashit points out that you don't find any indication in the Gemara as to what happens if you leave out the name of the Fathers. Clear from the Gemara that if you leave out the husband, the wife's name, that's puzzle. Again, questionable whether that's Minotaur, Midor, Bonim, but you have no indication in Shas as to what happens if you leave out the name of the father. So we pass in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rush and the Rashba, that if you leave out the name of the Avi Abal or the Avi Isha, that's Kasha. According to the Rashba, it could be you could even leave it out l'chachila. The Rashba assumes you need to write it l'chachila, but the b'di'evit, if you left it out, it's going to be kasher. So, bottom line, minimally, if you left it out b'di'evit, that's going to be kasher, according to the Rashba and the Rashba, and according to the Psak in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kes, it's a Kes. Right. that. There are a lot of factors before you can answer that question. Beyond what I want to get into right now. But that's complicated. Depends on usage and primary names and maybe small signs. That's to go through Simon Cook test would take much more time than we have in the next 3 weeks. But the Mechaber writes over here, Imlo Hiskir Shem Aviya Ish, O Avi Shem Aviya Isha, Kasher. Okay. Now, so the question is, so we established that Lichachila, you have to write the name of the Aviya Ish, Aviya Isha. B'diavid, if you left out the name of the husband or the woman, the get is minimally kosher. B'diavid, if you left out the name of the fathers, the get is kosher. What happens if you make a mistake in the name of the father? If you make a mistake in the name of the husband or wife, so then that's the same as leaving the name out. That's minimally kosher. What happens if you make a mistake in the name of the father, where l'chachila, you didn't have to write the name of the father to begin with? You went ahead and you wrote the name of the father. You made a mistake. So is that worse than leaving it out completely, or do you say that since bottom line you didn't have to write it anyway, so the fact that you wrote it erroneously is no worse than not writing it at all? So that general question as to whether if you leave out a piece of information in a get which is not ma'akev to begin with, that's a discussion in Tosafot on Daf Pei Amud Aleph. Right, the Mishnah, the long Mishnah going from Ayin Tes Amud Beis to Pei Amud Aleph, tells us about different phrases that appear in a get, and what phrases, the absence of which could or would not pose a problem. So the Mishnah says, if you make a mistake and you write the name of the husband and the wife incorrectly, or for that matter you write the name of the city incorrectly, then that's not a valid get, and if she remarries, then she's because the first get was not valid. So Tosi here quotes in that payment aleph, the name of the re. When we say Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, Haynu Dafka Ir Shadarin Ba, that's talking about the city where they reside. Avol Ir Shanolid Ba, Filu Shino Kasher. But the city of birth, even if you're to write the city of birth incorrectly, that's still Kasher. Kevish Ein Sarach L'Kosel Pal. There's no necessity to write the city of birth to begin with. Shakal Monu Shugilu L'Kosel Mishum Shem Ya'ara Shia Shem Yosef and Shimon Achir. So there was a practice that was instituted of writing, we don't have this practice, there was a practice instituted of writing the birthplace of the husband in order to have an additional identifying feature in the get, so that should there be some confusion as to the identity of this person, we have two people getting divorced in Pesach, they're both named Yosef and Shimon, and their wives are both Rachel and Laban, and we don't know which one we're talking about, but one Yosef and Shimon was born in Pesach, and the other Yosef and Shimon was born in New York. So if it says Yosef and Shimon was born in New York, we know what Yosef and Shimon were talking about. So that was a practice not based in the Gemara, writing the birthplace of the husband and the wife. So the rewrites that if you make a mistake in the birthplace of the husband and the wife, since that's something that's not ma'akev to begin with, you didn't have to write it to begin with. So if you make a mistake, that's not going to possible the get. So that's the opinion of Tosus here. There is a Mordechai in the fourth parak, Simon Tav Samaches, it quotes from a Raviyah, a contrary position. It quotes from the Raviyah that if you make a mistake in something that did not have to be written to begin with, that passes. But in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the Re in Tosus, that if you make a mistake, or Mishan is something that doesn't have to be written in the first place, that's going to be Kasher B'di'eved, and the Shulchan Aruch does not quote any Cholik on that halacha. So we've seen that the halacha, which should emerge, is that if you make a mistake in something that doesn't have to be written to begin with, that's not going to possible the get. However, the Rush says that that halacha would not necessarily apply to our situation here. I guess we'll pick up with this tomorrow.